We're Pastors George and Terry Pearsons, and we are so glad that you joined us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast.
We're really thrilled with the Lord and with Brother and Sister Copeland to allow us to be here
yes,
to minister
thank
the
you.
Word of God to you. That is truly our delight.
And it's an honor to be able to come to you and to bring you some good news today. And so we began a series yesterday talking about keeping our healing. So Terry, why don't you review and then we'll move on to the next point.
Well, this all follows a series of broadcasts that we started back some weeks ago about God wants you well.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brother Copeland has continued that series. And that brings us to this point that God wants you well, but he wants you to stay well. And sometimes healing comes, but it's just followed up right on the heels of that, of a return of symptoms, return of sickness, or maybe something else that just came up when you thought you were done with it, and then something else comes up. And that can scare people. You could say, well, I thought I was healed. I guess I wasn't. And so what we're talking to you about this week is how to hang on to your healing, hold on to the promises of God. So, well, I haven't received healing before. Well, the things that we're talking about this week will do you well for you to receive your healing to start with. But here's a quick review. First of all, healing is marvelous. But as we said, that's not always the end of the story. Jesus said in John 10:10, there's a thief, and he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Yesterday, we talked about who is that thief? Well, Jesus said in Mark 4 that the thief is Satan. He is a thief. Well, does he come to steal your healing? Yes. Steal your life? Yes. Your money? Yes. Your children? Yes. He's just a thief. But there's something he wants to steal from you above all else. In Mark 4, Jesus said he comes to steal the word of God that's been sown in your heart. He wants to make you question it, doubt it, and not do what it takes to hang on to that word long enough for it to be rooted, to grow up, and to bear fruit, and that fruit of healing, and to keep your healing. He wants to take that word right out of your heart. So what are we supposed to do? We talked about that yesterday. Are we supposed to just say, oh, God, get the devil off of me? Please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. I don't understand. Why did you let this happen to me? Why me? Why me? Oh, me, oh, me, oh, my. No, that's not it. There's an answer to that. Ephesians 4:28, the Apostle Paul said to you, to me, let the thief steal no more. He didn't say it to God. He said it to you. He said it to me. You don't let the thief steal. And that's really where we ended yesterday.
That's right.
We picked that up again.
Pick it up today. And I want to remind you that all of these outlines that we're working from are available on kcm.org/notes. And it will be valuable for you to be able to go back through these and actually watch the broadcasts and go through the notes at the same time.
And you can get tomorrow's notes, no?
Yep, exactly. And so you can follow along.
Outlines are subject to change without notice, so we can't promise.
But you said, let the thief steal no more. I think that's a really good declaration that we can make. Let the thief steal no more. And the scripture that we use is James 4:7. And it says in the New King James Version, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Terry, that is such a powerful scripture because in that scripture, the Lord is telling us, if you do resist the devil, then the result of that is he will flee from you. And talking about him fleeing from you, the sickness will flee from you. The infirmity will flee from you. The attack will flee from you. But there are times when believers aren't, they're missing it in their believing.
Yeah, well, they'll believe God and believe, which is step number one. But in holding on to your healing, understanding that there is an enemy and that it's our part to do the resisting, most people don't know to stay in that resistance mode. Now, resisting is more than, well, I rebuke you, devil. I cast you out, devil. Well, that is a part of it, but it's not the only thing there isn't. Resistance is a lot more than just one pushback, because our enemies, Brother Hagin put it this way, he is a viable foe. Somebody said, Brother Hagin, you'd say something good about the devil. He said, well, he is a persistent cuss. And so he's pushy, and he doesn't give up, and he keeps going, and he keeps going. There, even with Jesus, he pressed against him multiple times there in the wilderness until it finally he left.
Yeah.
And when he left, it says he looked for a better opportunity.
Right.
Well, that better opportunity never really came.
And our persistence in faith will wear down the devil's resistance where we're concerned. The more we are persistent in the word, the more we are persistent in our stand, the more we are persistent in walking in God's ways, the more we will see the devil flee from us, and he will be fleeing from us with all of the stuff that he's tried to put on us. You know,
I was just laughing at this next note.
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Me? Resist the devil? How can I resist the devil?
Yeah, well you can.
Well, we need to tell him. We need to tell him.
Yeah.
How do we resist the devil?
Here it is.
Here we go.
Therefore, this is James 4:7-8. Therefore, submit to God. And I like this, the way he thinks, the way he talks, the way he acts.
That's how we submit to him.
Yeah.
We have to think like he thinks. We have to act like he acts. We have to talk like he talks. That when you're submitted to him, it's being like him.
Yes.
We're following him.
Yeah.
We're moving in his ways.
Yep.
But that goes just the same when he says resist the devil.
Yeah, resist the way he thinks.
The way he thinks.
The way he acts.
The way he talks.
Yeah. All of that, you resist him, and the result of that is he will flee from you.
He will, and we have to hold to that and say, well, how do I know he will? Because God said he would.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah.
He said, you resist, he will flee. But understanding more about that resistance and what it looks like, and resisting, like everything else in the kingdom of God, requires faith. So it says he will flee from you, but then it goes on to say, before that, it says submit to God.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to submit to God? How do we do that? Well, he goes on to say that in the rest of the verse.
Yeah, draw near to God.
I love that. Don't you love drawing near to God?
Draw near to him.
Just staying close to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you reject God
when
you blame God.
Yeah.
You push him away from you
when you
think this is that God's your problem.
And he will speak to us, and he will inspire us, and he will help us to be led by his Holy Spirit as we draw near to him.
He's the comforter.
He's the comforter.
He's not there to hurt us.
But
he's
listen
there
to
help
this.
Us.
Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you.
You know, he's already made the move of drawing near.
Yeah.
Now it's our turn to respond. And when we respond to him and draw near to him, it draws him even closer.
Right.
It draws us into his circle. It draws us into his atmosphere. It draws us into him. And God is healing, and life is always coming from him.
Right.
It's just what happens. The closer we get to him, the more that healing, the restoration, the strength, the comfort, everything we need, it's just there in his presence.
Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded.
Cleanse your hands, you sinners. You know, people don't, God is good, but sin will get in your way. Sin gets in your way from believing. Sin gets you out of God's will. You know if you're in sin most of the time. And looking to see what God, how he defines sin and what God says for you to do is get the sin out of your life.
Yeah.
Okay?
So
he says, cleanse your hands.
Cleanse your hands. Purify your
heart.
It says you double-minded.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want something from God, but you're acting like the devil, or you thought God healed you, but now he's made you sick, or God's told you to live a certain way, but then you're living another way, those things created this dualness. And James says, don't think that anybody who's double-minded can receive anything
from
God.
That's exactly right.
What we're talking about is not on God's ability or desire to get something to you, but we're talking about things that will keep you from receiving what he's provided.
Yeah. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to review yourself.
No, do you remember that phrase that Dad said that I think everyone should write this down? This is, as my daughter says, stitch it on a pillow. Okay? Self-examination in the presence of faith is a good thing. Scripture's very clear. Mm-hmm. Judge yourself that you be not judged.
Yes.
The first or second Corinthians at the end, it says, examine yourself to see whether or not you're in faith. These are all important judgments. Are you walking in love? Are you obeying what God told you to do?
Yeah.
You need to put that before him in faith, listening, and let him show you. Let the Holy Spirit show you. But then Dad went on to say, but evaluation apart from faith brings condemnation, and that is demonic.
That's right.
Beating yourself over the head will never help you receive.
Yeah.
And God's not pleased in that. So what do you do when you find yourself walking out of love or being in disobedience or in sin? What are we going to do about it? How do we get that out of our lives?
Yeah, well, like you said, we have to review ourselves. I call it cross-examination.
Oh, that's very good.
You like that?
Yeah, I do. Cross.
Cross-examination.
The cross of Jesus.
Yeah. Well, we're told to examine ourselves anyway. That's what the Bible tells us. But how do we do that? You talking about walking out of love and making sure that we are cleansed. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
You know, that people think that repentance comes once in a while. Honestly, the more sensitive you get to the Word and to the Holy Spirit within you bearing witness is to be quick to repent over every little thing.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to be sin conscious, but you want to be more conscious of God's forgiveness and his love. Just, Lord, forgive me for that. Oh, I repent over that. Receive my forgiveness. You know, agitations and short temper and impatience and criticisms and judgmental selfishness, greed, covetousness. You know, those are the things that most real Christians face a lot more than the things that come to a lot of people's mind of immorality and sexual sins and perversions. Those, boy, they'll get in your way too. And letting the things of the flesh run away in your life and just eating everything you can see, drinking everything you want, smoking everything that comes. Those things, that they bring their own forms of sickness and disease into your life.
Yeah.
God wants you to be free from that. But the way to do it is to recognize it, repent of it, say, I want free from that, and apply faith in the blood.
Faith in the blood.
He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus is the cleansing agent of heaven.
And we repent quickly. I mean, just like
right
that.
Away.
Right away.
Yep.
Just like you used to tell the children.
Just like that.
Just like that.
Obey. Just like that.
And he's faithful and he's just to do that. So when you do that, then Terry, you position yourself. You're in much better position to resist the devil.
It's hard to resist the devil on his territory.
Yeah.
Brother Hagin, that was something else he said. You know, if Satan can pull you over into the arena of flesh and your mind and reasoning, he'll defeat you. But if you hold him in the arena of faith, then his defeat is is secure. His defeat is guaranteed.
Yes.
Okay, but faith is going to work by love. Faith is going to work by obedience. And so that's the reason that we want to keep and stay very mindful of obedience to that love command.
Stay clear. So you say no, not in your power, but his power.
So that's the first part of resisting the devil. Is just say no. Nancy Reagan had it right with her famous Just Say No campaign. No to drugs, but just saying no. to the devil. A real quick testimony. I was still working in television department at the time, and I started having excessive migraine headaches. They were crippling to me, incapacitating to the, and the thing that the Lord direction that I got from that was to resist the devil, to say no. So I could tell when one of those headaches was coming, and I would tell it no. No.
Yeah.
I'm not putting up with you. No. That was step one. But then step two was overcoming evil with good. And it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. So I'd say, no, devil, no migraine. No, you don't. I give thanks to God. I give thanks to God. And it took about a month for them to completely disappear. But I noticed a change almost immediately where they didn't last as long. Then they started getting lighter. Then they were fewer and further between over that period of, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. And then they just went away. Over the years, from time to time, that would try to come back on me. Oh, no, you don't. No, 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 no. I give thanks to God because by his stripes, I was healed. If I was, I am.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's so resisting.
That's resistance. Resistance is a military term. And there are so many things that come into play in terms of comparing the stand of faith that we have to a physical military operation. And I like this in 2 Corinthians 10:4. You know, when God says, resist the devil and he will flee, he's given us the weaponry, the spiritual weaponry to be able to do this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
And that just means flesh.
Right.
You can't fight a spiritual being with fleshly things.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Yes, things that have come. And if you look at that scripture and study it out, it's talking about imaginations that exalt themselves against the word of God, against against Jesus and the anointing that he carries. And so these weapons are spiritual weapons. And as we apply them in faith, that is resistance.
Mm-hmm. That is the resistance. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11, finally, my brethren, so we're talking to you right now. Finally, my brethren.
Brethren and the sister.
And the sister. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
I like the Amplified Classic, and it says, stand up against the strategies and the deceits of the devil. Number one tool or weapon that the devil has is lying and deceiving and to convince you of anything that's contrary to the word of God. By lying to you, well, those symptoms came back, that you didn't really get your healing, you're not worthy. All kinds of things. You can't get healed again. You got it before, but you can't get it this time. You're not going to get it this time. He's just such a liar. But this is against his strategies and his deceitfulness. Verse 12 in Ephesians, there at Ephesians 6 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. This is the demonic order of rank and file of demonic activity. And so we're really not dealing with physical symptoms.
No.
You're taking a medicine or something to help with the symptoms, but understand that we're going to the Lord no matter whether or not that natural medication is involved. We go first to the Lord, and that's what we're dealing with is the devil that's behind those symptoms.
That's right. The root, the very root of the problem is the devil. He is to blame for everything that has to do with the curse in our lives. It's him. And we look at that, we see it, we resist him. And verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, And then it goes on to say, stand right, therefore.
Yeah. So who withstands the devil? Who withstands the return of sickness? Who does it? You do it.
We do it.
You know, a lot of people don't like this message. Why? Because they don't like hearing that they have to do something. They don't like understanding that they're responsible. But the Bible tells us God didn't look for a puppet. He wasn't looking for a little dog he can throw treats to from time to time when you do a little trick. No, we are co-laboring. He said, you right. take dominions. What he said to Adam.
Right.
He said it again to Noah. It's what Jesus taught us. Take dominion over these things. We stand in God's armor all the time.
All the time.
All the time, yeah. All his weapons. And this is how we keep the door to sickness closed as well as dealing with it when it tries to return.
So why don't we talk in the last few minutes of this time that we have, the weaponry, the arsenal, the tools that God has given us to be able to successfully resist the devil.
It would be great to do a whole study on this, but we don't have time for that now. But Ephesians 6, there, verses 14 through 18, it tells us having your loins girt about with the truth.
Yes.
Jesus said the word is truth. The breastplate of righteousness.
Right.
Whose righteousness? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Okay? Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Yep.
Sometimes it feels like there are darts flying from over above all the time coming on you. But this says the shield of faith, you lift it up and it will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The helmet of our salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, he says, and praying in the Spirit with all watchfulness. That's the armor of God and those other weapons, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. That's all the time we have for it today, but we'll pick up here tomorrow.
Well, the armor of God, you develop yourself in this, and we have a package that we want to give to you, absolutely free, Harvest of Health package. And this is going to help them in that warfare that we stand and resist the devil. These are going to be such a benefit to you.
So we have Sister Gloria Copeland's book, Harvest of Health. That's what the package is named for, which is, I like these little small books because you can sit in just a morning devotion time and read that. Brother Copeland's CD on healing scriptures, Brother Copeland reading healing. How would you like to have Kenneth Copeland sit by your bed and read healing scriptures to you?
Good.
Well, you can do that every night. And then the book also by Sister Copeland, and Jesus Healed Them All, one of my personal favorites. Just think this is so wonderful. And then this little brochure, we'll be including this in your package, You Are Healed, that Sister Copeland put together. But I like it because in the front cover, it lists so many of the things that help you between amen and there it is, or when the devil comes to steal the word, this will tell you it's kind of a go-to to cover a lot of the things that we're doing in these outlines.
Right.
Plus, it's just a great collection of scriptures on healing to feed your faith. And so we want to give that to you. And all you have to do is pay attention right now because the announcer is going to tell you how you can have yours for free.
Are you ready to experience a life of divine health, vitality, and victory? Introducing the Harvest of Health Package, a collection designed to empower you and elevate your health. Turn on healing scriptures and let the Word of God guide you on a journey of faith and healing. Listen as Kenneth Copeland reads anointed healing scriptures. Defeat doubts and receive your healing, allowing the transformative power of God's Word to get into your heart and flow through you. Explore the profound revelations in Jesus Healed Them All, a book by Gloria Copeland. Discover the will of God in action through the ministry of Jesus. Dive into overwhelming scriptural evidence that without a doubt, it is God's plan to heal today, just as in the time when Jesus healed them all. And for those committed to living in divine health every day, the Harvest of Health mini book by Gloria Copeland is your guide. Don't wait for an emergency. Start feeding on healing scriptures now. Learn how to sow the word of God into your heart and reap a harvest of health in your life every day. Because now is the time to embark on a journey to a healthier, more abundant life. Order your free copy of the Harvest of Health package from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, including the You Are Healed brochure packed with related healing scriptures. Feed your spirit on the Word and stay ready to reap your harvest of health every day. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
We walk by faith when times are good. We walk by faith when times are terrible. No person that lives by faith has to change his or her lifestyle because of the times.
You will bring honor to God when you increase in your fruitfulness. God has so much more in store for you than what you've already experienced.
Join us for the Branson Victory Campaign with Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle, April 4th through the 6th. Register at kcm.org/Branson today.
God has given us a number of ways to build our faith and get strong and learn how to resist the devil. Well, we have books, we have messages, we have these times on the broadcast, but we also have live meetings that Brother Copeland preaches at. And we have the Branson Victory Campaign that's coming up. It's the first one of this year, April 4th through 6th in Branson, Missouri, at Keith and Phyllis's church, Faith Life Church in Branson. And we know that the word is going to be preached. Terry, when you get under that anointing, that power in a group session like that, there's something really powerful that takes place, isn't there?
Well, it's good to be in a church where the atmosphere is already an atmosphere of faith.
That's right.
Faith, it's there. They are faith in the morning, faith at noontime, and faith when the sun's going down. And to come into an atmosphere like that and hear the word and give your attention to it, and just get quiet before the Lord, let him talk to you. My goodness, that is the kind of setting time aside for the Lord to minister to you on a level that's hard to get in a just day-to-day life.
And we have at a Branson and a Victory Campaign, we've got great worship music. And then Brother Copeland comes and he teaches the word. Jerry Savelle is a guest with us. He'll be teaching the word as well. And then on Saturday morning, April 6th, we'll have our healing school. Bring a friend to healing school. Just get yourself totally immersed in this atmosphere of faith. And it is going to change and transform your life.
Because it's the word of God. That's what happens.
It is.
So for information on the Branson Victory Campaign or any of our events, go to kcm.org/events. And don't forget to order the Harvest of Healing package. We want to give it to you. Don't put it off. Do it today. And then remember this all day long until tomorrow, that
God loves you. We love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Watch the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast free on kcm.org or KCM's Roku channel. If you would like a free copy of the broadcast to put into your faith library, you can download it on kcm.org or request it on DVD or CD. Keep your heart full of the Word of God and continue to grow in faith. Every believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory.